Today's first scripture is Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And in the small pew Bibles, it says it's on page 677. This is the word the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's house. I will give you my message there. So I went down to the potter's house. I saw him working at the potter's wheel. He was making a pot from clay. But something went wrong with it. So the potter used that clay to make another pot. He used his hands to shape the pot the way he wanted it to be. Then the Lord spoke his word to me. Family of Israel, can't I do the same thing with you? Says the Lord. You are like the clay in the potter's hands. There may come a time when I will speak about a nation or a kingdom. I might say I will pull that nation up by its roots. Or I might say I will pull that nation down and destroy it. But if the people of that nation are sorry for the evil they have done, I would change my mind. I would not carry out my plans to bring disaster to them. There may come another time when I will speak about a nation. I might say that I will build up and plant that nation. But if I see it doing evil by not obeying me, I would change my mind. I would not carry out my plans to do good for them. So say this to the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I am preparing disaster for you right now. I am making plans against you. So stop doing the evil you are doing. Change your ways and do what is right. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 through 33. Please rise if you are able for today's gospel reading. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and Jesus turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Running a little late here. Hope you didn't have lunch plans. I've only got about an hour and a half sermon. Gospel lesson, thank you, Nalu, for reading. If you do not hate your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your brother, your sisters, your children. Man, that is a tough passage. And in truth, it would be a better translation to say, if you do not detach yourself or turn away from. But this is not to soften it. It is to say, You have to make me priority number one. That's tough. I don't know. That is radical discipleship, isn't it? But that's not today's sermon. We're going to go to Jeremiah. You noticed that I was talking about the potter, so you knew that's where I was going. How many of you thought of Harry Potter? No? Not until, yeah, well, you knew Slytherin and Gryffindor and a few things there. We're not going there either. My discussion is about this potter making clay. Paya put in all these wonderful pictures. She does such a good job always of illustrating and adding those things. And I thought it good to do a clay pot that was formed but semi-spoiled. And I felt those two came together. And we need to hear that this, initially, the first work of the potter is spoiled in the potter's hand. Debbie read the Children's New International Version. Wasn't that fun to hear her words opposed as they were? Okay. But the first try was spoiled. I don't know if you used another term in yours. I don't remember what it was. And the potter remakes it. And God said, I can do that. If a potter, a human being, can recast a pot, what's to say that I cannot? But the question becomes, can one of God's works fail? Can it be that God would spoil a pot? Now, my theology does not support that God makes mistakes. Omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing. And I don't believe that God makes mistakes, so it begins the discussion. I do not believe that God makes junk. First heard that when I was a kiddo, went to a church youth retreat. God doesn't make junk. And I think that that's something we need to share with people, with kids, with young people, with 13-year-olds. My heart dies to hear someone so overwhelmed. We need to be there offering assurance and hope and vision, and every person a sacred worth. Every person has sacred worth. Every person. Now, I have shared with you that I was a behavioralist in college until I got into college. I believe that everyone is born exactly equal, and that from that point on, all the stimulus, all the things you experience, all the things you're taught, Ron Mackey's and I have been going around about that, South Pacific, you must be carefully taught. There's a song, and it's talking about how things are taught to the children and passed on, and that's not always good things. But that's what I believed in college until I had two beautiful daughters and the same heritage, same genetics, same race, same everything, and totally different children. So I'm not a behavioralist entirely anymore. And I have paused to acknowledge that sometimes people are built differently. People are born differently. Like I was referring to with the children. This young man, did you see that news article about him? He had nothing below the waist. And the whole first half of the news article is showing him pumping iron and doing all these things. From the waist up, you didn't even know. You couldn't. And then it zooms back and there's nothing below his waist. And I thought, this is astonishing. Or a baseball player without one hand. How would you do that? Mark, you're a baseball player, aren't you? Yeah. How would you do it without one hand? I can't quite. Yeah. Most of us are lousy with two, and here he was. And he was pitching for, I don't know, amazing things. Amazing things that can happen. But it begs the question, did God make a mistake with these kids? I am colorblind. Some of you know that. And I didn't know it when I was younger. I used to get bad grades in art class. Especially when matching colors was in, you know, something. Didn't know why. Everybody thought I was being lazy, I guess. But the teacher would say, now look at Billy's over here. And I'd look at Billy's and say, now look at yours. And I'd look, and they looked pretty good to me, but she would be shaking her head no. And nobody caught on until I was in college. And I thought, I think this is the case. It really came home to me that this is life impacting when I was driving into Santa Fe. Now, all of you have driven in a car. You know, they have those traffic lights, red, blue, green. Well, red and green are problems for me. But I know which is on top and which one's on the bottom. It's simple stuff. Driving into Santa Fe, they're this way. One of them was lit up, sure enough. But I didn't know if it was red or green. I had no way of telling, and I was staring at it thinking, this is bad. So I waited until the guy next to me, we're driving along, and I just followed his lead, and we drove through this light, and it was the one on whichever side it was. I said, I'll bet that one's green. So I adapted. I learned how to live with that. When I go to paint something here at the church, you'll note I'll find somebody. Rich Schneer, I pinned him down a couple of times. I'll say, I'm ready to paint and fix this, but you got to come here first. You got to find colors. You got to figure out that, because I just was made without the ability to see things with red and green. This is the way as everyone else does. Am I a flawed pot? What about this kid I saw in the news who was born without eyes? And he's a musician. And this kid is, he's a prodigy. He's amazing. His other senses have adapted and have become predominant. And so he's different. Is he a broken pot? Was the pot spoiled in the potter's hands? I believe we're all broken. I believe we are all different in some way, sometimes physical. You've met people that are different in some way physical. And it's always our intention to say, I'm going to pretend I don't notice. Have you ever been in the midst of that? Someone comes up and they startle you because they're physically, there's a physical difference of some kind, and you're not prepared for it. And sometimes those differences are not physical, but they're still there. They might be internal, emotional. Romans, why have you made me like this? Why? Asking God. Paul had an interesting thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but he refers to it in several of his letters. He had a thorn in the flesh that was a pain to him, and he prayed for God to take it away, and God did not. And so Paul's pain in the flesh was a part of him. I contend that all of us have some piece of a thorn in the flesh, a change, a brokenness, a tiltedness, a uniqueness. I think it comes out if we back up to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were probably perfect pots, spotless, pristine, but chose to exit Eden, chose to exit that garden of perfection, and are now prevented from going into that. An angel stands there barring the way. And so we are in a world that is imperfect, in a world that is a challenge, and a world that does have congenital defects, and that does have carcinogens, and that does have things that change us and provide struggle for us. This is not God's intent, in my opinion. My theology says that God would not do that to us, intentionally break us. But we are not in heaven. We are in the midst of a journey. We are in the midst of our final exam, if you will. How many of you remember walking into the class and says, quiz today, and you just about melt right down to the floor? Boy, I sure wish I'd read last night's assignment. I have nightmares to this day about that sort of thing happening. But I believe we are in kind of our final exam. We are in the midst of this planet that we are on, and we're supposed to be caretakers of it. And we're supposed to be those who are offering Christ and the kingdom. And we're supposed to be doing what we can with what we've been given. If you've only been given one hand, become a baseball player. Oh, wow. Incredible. What can we not do when God is with us? We are not perfect. We are, and we will not be perfect. We're moving on to perfection. Are we moving on to perfection? Are we moving on to perfection? Got to keep working on that. I don't want anybody sitting on their laurels. We're moving on. We're trying. We're keeping. And right now there are a lot of moving ons that need to happen in our society. There are things that need to be done, and we need to be about it. Debbie Gunther is one of our guides on that. How are we reaching out to people less fortunate? Living on what for a day? Living on just such a small amount. The people in the Bahamas are not going to receive as much aid as the people who might be white living in Houston or Galveston. Something's wrong here. How are we about that, and how shall we be? By the way, I forgot to announce that in the good news. UM Corps has a special offering for the Bahamas and for the coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Dorian. Please give generously. This advertisement was brought to you by... I'm colorblind. You have a flawed pastor. That's the only flaw I'm going to tell you about anyway. But in my flawedness, I've tried to learn and adapt and to be able to still do what God calls me to do. To overcome that flawedness and to be a user of the gifts I've also been given. Now I have to set one difficult question before you. What about a mass murderer? I, like all of you, when I hear of an event, I want to know about the person and think, what happened to them to make them able to do this? What caused their brokenness that they could do something this profane? And we have to be careful. I need to remember sometimes and acknowledge that that's the behavioralist that says society has done this to them to make them who they are. And sometimes I need to back up and say maybe that's who they have been all along. That is not an excuse. I am colorblind, but I don't stop because of my colorblindness, nor do I use it to punish other people. I understand my frailties, my temptations. Alcoholics need to know that they are alcoholics, understand that temptation, and gird their loins against that disease. So I believe that people are still accountable. I believe that some are differently made, whether through societal behavioral changes that they've been raised, whether through the way that we have a society that glorifies violence for whatever reason, and to help them understand that we are all accountable. You see, that is what the gospel said. That is what Nalu read. That is what it says. If you don't put everything secondary and me first, that's what you have to do. That sentence was atrocious. But my point is straightforward. Radical discipleship. The boss is the boss, and we got to follow the boss. Amen?